I enjoy going over the stuff that we've gone over before, but I never want it to be old for us. And the topic tonight is, why did Jesus stay around 40 days after he rose from the dead? That's what I'm going to tackle this evening. We're going to be doing a lot of scripture. So probably either you need to follow your notes or you need to crack open your Bible and follow this, because we're going to look at that. I'm going to begin by looking at Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. And it says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus," that's Luke talking there, "of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also," now look at this, "he showed himself alive after his passion," that means suffering, after his passion, "by many," and I like this, infallible proofs, "being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God." This morning we went through the PowerPoint and we looked at the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after those events, Jesus Christ did not just simply go to heaven. He ministered for 40 more days. And as the title of the message says, why did he stay around for those 40 days after he had risen from the dead? Well, there's three reasons at least. This isn't complete on that, but the first reason that he stayed around was he wanted to show himself alive from the dead so that people could not deny it. He wanted there to be utter undeniability that Jesus Christ indeed had risen from the dead. And I frankly get excited when I see the people that he revealed himself to. In the very first one, he showed himself to Mary Magdalene the next morning after the resurrection in Mark chapter 16. It's a short part, and then we'll look at John 20. But in Mark 16 and verse 9, it says, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week." What's the first day of the week? Sunday. All right, the resurrection day. That's why we meet on Sunday. That's the day he arose. "He appeared first to Mary Magdalene." Now look at this. "She was in bad shape, out of whom he cast seven devils." Today they would have said she was a crazy woman. Today they'd have said she's nuts. They'd try and drug her and calm her down. But that wasn't the problem. And I think even in our day, a lot of things that they call a mental illness actually is demon possession. I believe that there's a lot of that going around. But Mary Magdalene, she had such a proper love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason I emphasize the word proper is because there's some people who try and make things out that are not. There's some who claim that Mary Magdalene was the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is blasphemy. And then they found something in the Gnostic gospel, supposedly the gospel of Mary Magdalene, which is a bunch of bunk. But anyway, she was so grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ because he saved her soul and cast out seven devils. Let's look at the long passage now in John chapter 20 and verse 11 through 18. If you can kind of picture yourself there, "But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping." See, they're not grasping hold of what really has taken place here. They think, they've taken my Savior from me. Even though he had talked about it, he talked some in parables, then he talked directly, they weren't getting it yet. "And Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down." If you look at the grave sites, and there are several there from that era. They are usually low, and you do have to stoop down to be able to look in. And she looked into the sepulcher. I'm sure she was shocked, because verse 12, we read this, "And seeth two angels sitting, two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet," where the Lord Jesus Christ had been buried. And what was left there was a burial cloth that he had been in, and then his head wrapping was placed in another place. But when we say talk of two angels in white apparel, what do they look like? Well, they look like men. They look like Joe. They look like me. But they were dressed more like Ed with the white coat there. They were in shining body. It says, where the body of Christ had lain, verse 13. "And they say unto her, Woman," and that wasn't bad. That wasn't derogatory. It'd be like saying, "Ma'am, woman, why weepest thou?" And she said unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, the one who changed my life, the one who cast devils out of me, the one who has given me everything. And I know not where they have laid him." And when she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and she knew not it was Jesus. And Jesus say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seek ye?" Now look at this. I mean, he just hadn't revealed to herself yet, She's supposing him to be the what? The gardener. She thought that the gardener was the one there. Said unto her, gardener, she said unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him thence, tell me where thou hast laid him." Now, I don't know how she'd have done it. She'd probably have to ask for help. She certainly wasn't a muscular woman, I would bet. And it says, "I will take him away." And then Jesus said unto her, "Mary." Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," and that is to say, "Master." Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not." It's very interesting. He hasn't even ascended to heaven yet. And why is it important that he ascends to heaven? I want you to think just a little bit. He takes his blood to the heavenly tabernacle, and he sprinkles it on the mercy seat there. And according to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8, when Jesus Christ died and he descended to the lower parts of the earth, as the scripture says, Ephesians 4 verse 8 says he led captivity captive. You see, when the believing thief on the cross died, he was the last Old Testament convert. And where did he go? He went to paradise until Jesus Christ could ascend to heaven, take his blood with him to the heaven, into the heavenly tabernacle there. And Ephesians 4:8 says he led captivity captive. He takes them from paradise to heaven with him. And Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not, I have not yet ascended to my Father. Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father, and to my God and to your God." And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Remember, they were all fearful. They'd all scattered. They didn't know what was going to happen to them. They were going to be arrested, maybe crucified as well. The next thing that we see is that he showed himself to Cephas, that's Peter, or Simon, which is also Peter, Simon Peter. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 5, it says, "And then he was seen of Cephas, and then the 12." And in Luke chapter 24, verse 34, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." The next thing that we see in number 3, and he's showing himself first to these individuals that are very curious and very supportive of him, and The next we see that he showed himself to two disciples. I know who one is, and I'm not sure who the other one is, but if you have your Bibles, you will need to turn with me to Luke chapter 24, because in Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 13, it's on the road to Emmaus, and we know that one of the disciples is Cleophas, not disciples, but one of the people is Cleophas, and perhaps the other one is Luke. And then we begin reading at verse 13. It says, "And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together, while they talked together and reasoned, Jesus drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden." They didn't recognize Jesus, that they should not know him. "And he said unto them, What manner of communication are these that ye have one with another as ye walk and are sad?" See, they're still not getting the implication. That's one of the reasons Jesus stays behind for 40 days. He wants them to know this is all a part of God's plan. Verse 18, "And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known the things which are come to pass in these days?" The Lord Jesus says in verse 19, "He said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how that the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." They're thinking, oh man, he was going to redeem Israel, and now they killed him. "And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done." What happens the third day? He rises from the dead. "Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not." I like verse 25. "Then he said unto them, O foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Now, I would have liked to have been there, and if you get to replay history, I would have liked to hear the sermon that Jesus gives them, because look what he does now. At the beginning, or it says, and beginning at Moses. What is that? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch. Beginning at Moses, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the thing concerning himself. He ticked them off. All those things. "And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would go no further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened." Finally, They get it. Their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, I like this, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scripture? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and he hath appeared unto Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known to them in breaking bread. Wow, what an exciting time that would have been. What a great time as he walks along with them. And finally, they didn't get it while he's going through all the Old Testament and explaining all these things to him. And then when he sits down, they finally get it. Praise the Lord. The next thing, he appears to the 10 disciples. Thomas is absent, and this is on the evening of the resurrection, on the evening of resurrection in John chapter 20, 19 through 24. Then the same day at evening, the day that he had arose, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. They're gathered in there and they're cowering. Came Jesus and stood in their midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said, or when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad, and when they saw the Lord, verse 21, and then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. God sent me. Now you've got a job to do. Don't sit here cowering. You've got a job to do. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. It says, whosoever sin ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called twin, Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The next time he appears, the 11 are together, and this time, it was 10 before, Thomas is there. Thomas is there. As I read you this passage of Scripture, I'm thinking, you know, there's only going to be one man-made thing in heaven. And you know what? That's the prince in his hands, his side, and his feet. That's the only man-made thing in heaven. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, John 20, 26 through 31. And after 8 days again, so it's more than a week, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Verse 27, then saith he to Thomas, and that's this 1600s picture I put on the front of your notes here. Thomas is sticking his finger in there. Here's what he says. Then said he to Thomas, reach thither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Now, unlike what the artist has portrayed here, I don't see any indication that Thomas actually did stick his hand in or stick his finger in. I'm not saying he didn't, but the context does not say he did. But what Thomas did do was say this, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Now look at this. Here's where we're at. We just have this record. Blessed are they which have not seen and yet believe. Jesus has never stood in my midst. Jesus has never said, stick your finger in the nail prints. But reading his word and believing his word, God pronounces a blessing. Blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed. In verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciple, which are not written in this book. Man, oh man, many. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Some of you stood with me on the Sea of Galilee, and I want you to turn with me to John chapter 21 as we think about this, where there's that big rock and you see that stone church there. They believe that that's where this takes place. His disciples, we'll see in a minute, the Sea of Tiberias, also called the Sea of Galilee, is also called the Lake of Gennesareth, has a number of names there in the scripture. But after Jesus is dead, they had followed the Lord Jesus Christ. They hadn't had to worry about anything. They had enough food to take care of themselves. They had enough raiment for themselves. They had enough money to sustain their needs. But now that Jesus is gone, a bunch of them go back to what they had done before. They go back and they were fishermen. They were fishermen. So let's look at it. Let's pick up at chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, Sea of Galilee. On this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, you know who they are, James and John, the sons of thunder. They kind of had a temper. And then it doesn't list two other disciples. Now, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. I'm going back to fishing. Got to do something to sustain myself. I'm going fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and at night they caught nothing. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Still not realizing it's Jesus, they cast their net therefore. And now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that would have been John, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord! Now when Simon Peter heard it, that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat upon him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea, and the other disciples came in a little ship, a little boat, for they were not far from land, but as it was about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring up the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net full of great fishes, and 153. And for all that were so many, and yet was not the net broken. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And now the disciples durst not ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth to them, and Fish likewise. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And now you remember that Peter had denied the Lord three times. He's going to restore Peter because he's got a job for them all to do. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said, feed my lamb. And he saith again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. And he saith a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto the Lord, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. And then he gives Peter a glimpse of what his end will be. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and you walked whither thou wouldest. You went wherever you want. You dressed yourself and walked. But when thou art old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands. The commentators believe that that's talking about Peter being crucified. And another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken thus, he said unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, and seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, said, Lord, which is he? Which is he that betrayeth thee? Then Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And then finally, then went they saying abroad among the brethren that the disciple should not die. That isn't what he was saying. But Jesus said not unto him that he should not die, but if I will tarry till I come, what is it to thee? So the disciples are restored there, and Peter's restored there, and they leave their fishing and decide to follow the Lord Jesus Christ again. Moving on quickly to the 11 disciples in the mountain, Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, look at this, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And then he gives them their commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Then we see, according to 1 Corinthians 15:6, that he appears to 500 people at once. 1 Corinthians 15:6, and then we'll look right next to 1 Corinthians 15:7. 1 Corinthians 15:6, and after that he was seen about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained unto the present, but some had fallen asleep or died. And after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Finally, we see number 10. The disciples given the Great Commission, and Christ ascends into heaven. Luke 24:49-53. says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye have been endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. It says, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Then we look at the last one, Acts 1, 3 through 11. It says this, "To whom he showed himself alive," we read part of this before, "after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father that they had heard. And John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud and received him out of his sight. And I like this. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. My friends, all these appearances, they were physical, they were tangible, it was natural. Jesus had a literal, physical, immortal body. He could eat, and he did, and he showed himself alive with many infallible proofs, and that's what he wanted to do so that people could not deny that he had risen from the dead. Now, the next thing that the reason that he stayed around was his disciples still did not completely get all that had happened. In Luke chapter 24, 26 and 27, it says, Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into glory? We already read that, how he started at Moses and went through the Old Testament and described this. He taught them just fully so that they could understand what their mission was. He wasn't done. He wasn't dead and had no power anymore. They were given the power of the Holy Ghost. And yet in Luke chapter 24, verse 36, it says, And as they spake, Jesus stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And they were terrified. They were afraid. and he says in verse 39, Behold my hands and my feet. And he says, For a spirit hath not flesh and bones like I have. Now, I don't completely understand the glorified body. But in his glorified body, he could eat because it says he had some boiled fish. And he had some honeycomb in verse 42 of Luke chapter 24. So he had eaten with them, but he could come and go at his will. Now that's very interesting. I don't know how that's going to work, but we're going to have glorified bodies like his. But we're not going to need jet planes and stuff to do what we need to do. I don't understand it all. But he taught them, saying in verse 46, Thus it is written, it behooved the Lord Jesus, or it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise the third day, and here's the key, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Why did Jesus come? The Father sent the Son to be the what? Savior of the world. He dealt with sin. The final reason, the third reason he stayed around, was so that they would receive the Holy Spirit and they would understand and be empowered to do what he had called them to do. Very interestingly, after they received the Holy Spirit, 3,000 people are saved on the day of Pentecost. And as I've taught you, and as you know, the first church was what nationality? Jewish. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Many other things the Lord accomplished that are not recorded as we told you about this, but Christ accomplished these things. And then in Acts 1:9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. You know what we're to do? Our Savior is in heaven, and he will return one day, but our job now is to pass the message on in our own Jerusalem. That's our own town. Judea, our own county. Samaria, the United States of America, and the uttermost part of the earth. That's why we have missionaries. He's coming again. He promised that. He told them that. He goes to prepare a place for us. And if he goes and prepares a place for us, he will come again and receive us unto himself. I'm looking forward to that day. Let's be faithful until that day comes. Amen. Brian? Heavenly Father, thank you.